The last few weeks that we've been looking at this Parenting God's Way series, we've been focusing in on just one passage each week, and it's been really helpful for us to just really stay there in one passage and get everything that we can out of that passage. Let God's work speak for itself. Today is going to be a little different, but we're at least staying in the same book. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Proverbs, or we're going to have the verses up on the slides as well. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs this morning, gleaning wisdom from the book of wisdom on parenting God's way, and the focus this morning is going to be addressing your child's heart. Very often we like to, or tend to, focus on our children's actions and their conduct, and it becomes that we only focus on their actions and their conduct, that we're more focused on what they do than who or what they are. In the book of Proverbs, in all of its wisdom, it addresses the heart of the issue time and time again, and it even tells us how to deal with the heart issues of our children. But before we get to God's wisdom regarding children, I want to read some typical false presuppositions of worldly wisdom regarding children. Some assumptions or presuppositions that are false regarding children and parenting. One is children are born good. It's assumed that children are born with a blank slate and they're born innocent. And who a child is the result solely of their upbringing and environment. Another assumption is that children should not be held responsible for their actions. It won't be said in those terms, but the essential assumption here is, you know, a child is going to be a kid. A kid's going to be a kid, and what else are you going to expect? But they get angry, and, you know, they're, you know, rambunctious and out of control a bit, a little wild even at times. I mean, that's, you know, he or she is a kid. What else do you expect? And so really the assumption behind that is that we shouldn't really hold a child accountable for their actions. Another false presupposition is children need self-esteem and love more than any other thing. That they need to learn how to love themselves and how to have a good, strong self-esteem if we want them to grow up to be happy, healthy, and whole. In Scripture, God tells us, you do love yourselves. The problem is you don't love others the way you love yourself already. One more false presupposition for parenting and for children is parents who love their child will just try to make them happy. That's how you show you love your child. Is you seek to make your child happy. Just do what they want, give them what they want. As long as they're happy day to day, then man, I'm a great parent. My child's smiling. I must be a great parent. A lot of these things are half-truths at best, but we need to remember the words of J.C. Ryle. He says, we must remember that children are born with a decided bias towards evil. Therefore, if you let them choose for themselves, they will choose wrong. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them, Proverbs says. Our hearts are like the earth on which we tread. Let it alone, and it is sure to bear weeds. You see, the assumption of worldly wisdom or even of our own minds is that, you know, we just need to give our children space, let them blossom, let them come to adulthood in their own way, and we just need to get out of the way and not impose anything on them. The reality is, if we leave a child to itself, their heart is like that ground. It'll bear weeds. What comes of it will not be fruitful, productive, or healthy, even for themselves. And so the book of Proverbs gets to the heart condition of our children by showing the difference between the wise and the fool. There's really only two kinds of people in this world: the person who fears the Lord and the person who has no fear of God in their eyes. The book of Proverbs set those two kinds of people before us time and time again: the wise and the fool, the righteous man, the evil man, the wise man, the fool, the foolish man. The wise person, again, is someone who fears God and obeys his commands. The foolish person is someone who does not fear God or obey his commands. And so that is really just the lens that in which you need to view your child. Is your child being wise or foolish? Is he or she fearing God or not? Is he or she obeying God's word or not? You see, this all comes down to the heart issue. What are you? Who are you? And what's your view of yourself and of God? Now, we're going to be dissecting. This isn't the first time we've done this in this church, but it's good to be reminded of these things, especially bring this to the forefront in a series on parenting. We're going to be looking at the four different kinds of a fool in the book of Proverbs. There isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of description when it comes to the foolish person in the book of Proverbs or in Scripture. There's essentially four different kinds and four different, entirely different words. And before we get into this, I want to be clear. That word fool, or when I use that word, it's not a derogatory sense. It's just what the Bible uses, and I'm not going to apologize for that. But fool does not mean lacking intellectual understanding. I think that's often how we hear that word. Oh, you're just so foolish. And it means you have no sense. You lack intelligence. You don't have any understanding. It's a derogatory term, is the way that we often hear it. But in Proverbs, as we're going to see, the word fool essentially means someone not lacking intellectual understanding so much as someone who is lacking moral or spiritual understanding. That's the main issue. It's a heart issue, remember. So in the book of Proverbs, there are four main kinds of fools: the simple, the fool, the ignorant fool, and the scoffer. And you can kind of tell by the wording, even there on your notes, that there's a progression. The simple, from the simple to the scoffer, there's a wide, wide range. And there's a huge difference. So we're going to learn the definition and the description of each in the book of Proverbs. And then we're going to find God's solution as well as wisdom for how to parent. You can see that on your notes. Under each term, you have the definition and description, you have God's solution, and then you have wisdom for parenting. And then we only have one, maybe two verses for each of those. All right, so let's get into to the material here. First of all, the first kind of fool in Proverbs is the simple. The simple. I appreciate the Legacy Standard Bible because it does stay consistent in the translation of these words. So like in the book of Proverbs, this word for simple will always be translated simple. Same thing for fool or ignorant fool or scoffer. And it's very helpful as you're reading and trying to glean wisdom in your own life and parenting. Some other versions don't stay consistent, so it's a little more difficult. That's why we're going to be using the LSB this morning to help us keep that consistency and observe. So let's look at what is the definition and description of the simple person. A good verse for this is found in Proverbs 14:15. It says, "The simple believes everything, but the prudent one discerns his steps." So this is a parallelism in Proverbs. This is typical in Hebrew poetry. You have two lines. Sometimes it's saying the same thing two different ways, but in this one there's a contrast, and they give light to each other. There's a play between the two lines here. So from this proverb, from verse 15, how would you describe the simple person? What are some other words that you would use? How is it presented here?
Gullible.
Yeah, great word. Simple person is a gullible person.
Naive
is excellent word for that. Yeah, ignorant. Yeah, somebody who, in a sense, seems like they just don't know any better. So gullible, naive. Well, what are some other words? Or ways that it's described here?
Selfish.
Selfish? Yeah. Yeah, they just want to do what they want to do. We're going to see that come even more to the forefront here in the next kind of fool, the next word in point two. It starts here at the simple, but it really comes out in the next one. Notice how the simple person is not described. He's not the prudent person. Notice how the prudent person is described. When the prudent one discerns his steps. What's the opposite then of discerning your steps?
Undiscerning.
What does that mean?
Aimless.
What's that?
Aimless.
Yeah, you're wandering. You're aimless with your steps. Yes, confused, doesn't know or doesn't have the ability to think through or the discipline to think through and consider what they're doing and why they're even doing it. The wise person can come along and actually shed light on why are you doing the thing that you're doing. Hopefully, as parents, we are more wise than our children, and we're trying not just to address what they're doing, but why they're doing that thing. Not just that they're on their phone all the time, but why are you on your phone all the time? What are you looking for? What are you trying to find? What are you getting out of that you should be getting out of the Lord? All right, so excellent. So the definition of this word is to be open-minded, not committed to any right or wrong morality or any way of life. So the simple person is, again, naive, open-minded. It comes from the word, the Hebrew word comes from the word to be open, spacious, and wide. It's that open-mindedness to a fault. I think it's G.K. Chesterton who said, you know, some people are so open-minded that their brains have fallen out. It's a good illustration of, you know, how a child can be at times, or how a simple person can be. Children don't have a monopoly on this. I think we've all met some simple adults. It's mentioned here that, again, it's the opposite of someone who discerns his steps. So the simple person is aimless in their life, drifting, wandering about spiritually, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, morally, and just in their life. They just can't seem to settle down and be present. This quality of being simple makes up the majority of young people. So if someone is wandering and open mentally, physically, spiritually, then what's inevitable is they're going to be open and wander into sin and deception. They might get it right. They might do something right or good every once in a while, but they'll just as much wander into foolishness and sin. So what's God's solution to this kind of person? Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Same word. So what is helpful from God for the simple person according to this verse? The Word of God. The Word of God. Is it just simply the proclamation of it or the reading out loud of it? What do we need to do with the Word of God for it to become beneficial to a simple person? We need to unfold it. Notice the unfolding of your words gives light. What does it mean to unfold? What do you think that means, to unfold the Word of God? To study. Live it out. It's laid out. Yes. It means to explain. It means to just lay it out, lay the Word of God out, unfold it, unravel it, let it become understandable to the simple person. Parents, that is essential. We looked at this last week in Deuteronomy 6, didn't we? The value of speaking about the things of God, the value of formal and informal instruction. Remember that? This is why. Because this is how God can take a simple child, a foolish, open-minded, gullible, naive child, and make that child wise, is through your instruction as a parent. What happens is the simple one gains understanding. They gain insight. And understanding is not just data or information about what is right or what is wrong. Understanding has the idea of why something is good and right, why it's good to obey the Lord, and why this decision is better than that decision. That's the reality of understanding. So parents, you have a wonderful opportunity to unfold the Word of God, to give light to the mind and heart of your child as you unpack it one verse at a time. And so we're already kind of talking about this, but see on your notes some wisdom for parenting. One great passage is Proverbs 9. Notice the repetition of simple or simplicity. Proverbs 9, verse 4 to 6. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Now, who's talking here? Does anybody know in Proverbs chapter 9? Solomon, but through a kind of persona. Wisdom. Yes, wisdom, Lady Wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom is set in contrast to the adulterous woman, especially there in the beginning, early chapters of Proverbs. And what we find is, I can't help but mention this, what we find is that the Proverbs 31 woman is the embodiment of Lady Wisdom. The goal of a woman is to be wise, incredibly helpful to her husband. But nonetheless, this is Lady Wisdom speaking. If you remember the adulterous woman, how she tempts the simple person, I think it's Proverbs 7, how the adulterous woman stands on the, or calls out to that wandering, simple young man that's wandering the streets. He's actually called simple there in Proverbs 7. And the adulterous woman calls out and tempts him, gives him all the reasons why he should come in and be with her. But here we have a contrast. Lady Wisdom calls out to the simple. What does she say? She says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here, not to the adulterous woman's home. But here, let him who lacks a heart of wisdom, to him who lacks a heart of wisdom, she says, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed, forsake your simplicity and live, and step into the way of understanding. So here we see Lady Wisdom beckoning, inviting, calling in the simple person out from his wandering and into a place of learning. What are some ways that we as parents might be able to take on this kind of mentality, or what are some ways that we as parents might be able to imitate, in a sense, Lady Wisdom here to our children? Yeah, simple instruction. Faithful, consistent, simple. That verse 6, forsake your simplicity and live, right? I could speak that from experience. Stop being so open-minded. If you want to live, then that's not the way. Living is not just following your heart and following the world. That's not life. Good. How about the attitude or the way that wisdom is presented by Lady Wisdom? What is the way that she presents what she has to offer?
Satisfied, because the verse 5 says, come eat my bread, drink my wine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's this abundant, full-orbed satisfaction. So what do we think of when we think of bread? Is that, like the bread of cake? Or what is that talking about there? Come and eat of my bread. What is bread to a diet? Nutrition, basic necessities. You see, how about wine? What is that? What part of the typical diet is wine? Is that, like water, or is it basic, or is it something else? What's that? It's not basic. I hope it's not. Then what is it? Enjoyment. That's a great word. Wine is to be enjoyed in this context, right? Not drunkenness, of course. But what is being alluded to here in come and drink the wine that I have mixed, what Lady Wisdom is offering is something enjoyable. And so the way that wisdom presents instruction and understanding is both the bread and butter of life, right? The basic skills of decision-making and how it's just valuable to live. It's enough to live off of. And then you have wine. It's something enjoyable. It's delightful. And so we need to present wisdom to our children in that way. That it's enough for the building blocks and the basics of life, but it's also something that's really wonderful. God's word is a treasure. Yes.
Speaking of the bread and wine, that just jumps out at me, because that's to me, that's telling. It's saying that you should bring your child to Christ. That's what I see, because all life. All our sin is done away through Christ, and I see the wholeness of life. Life can only be enjoyed through Christ. So that's what I see.
Yeah, there is an allusion here. I mean, the writer of Proverbs wouldn't have understood that, right? They would have understood just the the basic understanding of bread and wine. On our side of the cross, though, I don't believe it's a coincidence that what the Lord offers us to symbolize Himself in communion is bread and wine. I don't think it's a coincidence that that is the reality. It seems like He is drawing the same parallel between Himself and bread and wine that wisdom is to bread and wine. So just as wisdom of God is, it meets your basic needs, and it's what is you can live off of it, and it's also enjoyable and delightful, so also it is with Christ that you can, He's enough to live off of, basically. He is the essential of building block of spiritual life, and He's enjoyable as well. So both things are true. So be like Lady Wisdom here. Offer instruction and wisdom to your simple child. Offer them. When you correct them or instruct them, we've mentioned this before, it's not enough just to say, well, because I said so. That's not what Lady Wisdom does here. There may be a point where you got to get to there, and they just need to obey. However, notice what Lady Wisdom says. Forsake your simplicity and live. This is good for you. And how she reasons with the simple. If you want a good life, then listen to what I'm saying. Obey what I tell you to do. If you want it to go well with you, we reason with them. And even lure them towards wisdom, in a sense, with the goodness that it has to offer. Proverbs 1:4. To give prudence to the simple, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. This is just how the book of Proverbs begins. Why is there a book of Proverbs? It is to give prudence to the simple and to the youth, knowledge and discretion. It's no coincidence that the simple and the youth there are parallel to each other, because most often youth are simple in this way. So if I can just say something briefly and then we'll move on. The book of Proverbs is written for your child. The book of Proverbs is written for your child. It is going to be, and it can be, the most useful book in the entire Bible for your parenting. Proverbs can be the most useful book of the entire Bible for your parenting. Because this is something that you're going to be pulling out all the time. There's books on Proverbs and parenting. You can look those up. I failed to bring it this morning, but I have a book on my shelf where it catalogs all the Proverbs for you, and it catalogs it according to typical things that arise in the day-to-day struggles of parenting. So bad attitude, you know, infighting between siblings, jealousy, and things along those lines. And it catalogs it really helpfully. So I would commend to you to look up books that catalog Proverbs for parenting. And I believe the book is even called Proverbs for Parenting. All right, let's keep going. The Fool. This is the most common word used in the book of Proverbs to describe the fool. This is one step further than the naive, gullible, open-minded, wandering child. This is one step further. Proverbs 1:32 says, "For the turning away of the simple will kill them." Notice, we have the same word, simple, but now, "and the complacency of fools will destroy them." So what is a characteristic that is assigned to the fool here in the second half of that verse? Complacency. What is that? What's complacency? I don't know about arrogant, but what else?
I would say laziness.
Yeah, laziness. Yeah.
Ease or quietness.
What's that?
My definition says ease or quietness.
Yeah, the ease, quietness of fools. Yeah, they're not. There's no movement in there. Yes, content in their position. This is what I believe. This is what I'm doing. I don't see any reason to change.
Self-satisfaction.
No ambition. What did you say?
Self-satisfaction.
Self-satisfaction. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just fine with where I'm at, with who I am. That's the fool. This word comes from the Arabic word meaning sluggish, thick, plump, or fat. So it has that imagery that comes to mind. It's spiritually flabby, let's say. Spiritually sluggish or obese. Spiritually, right? It means dull or insensitive to wisdom. Dull or insensitive to wisdom. There's as it's been mentioned, there's a foolish self-confidence, so occupied with the things of this world that the things of God are of no concern to him. They're preoccupied with fleshly things, so much so that he is insensitive to spiritual realities. Insensitive to spiritual realities. And they're content there. They're content there. So what is God's solution to that? I mean, that seems pretty difficult to deal with. I mean, if somebody is just happy with where they're at, then, I mean, how do we get them out of that? What does God have to offer? And God's solution is found in Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will escape. What does it mean to walk wisely? Yeah, follow God's word. Wisdom is knowledge applied. That's all wisdom is. It is knowledge applied. The truth of God's word applied to the daily life. And so he who walks wisely is someone who lives according to the Bible. And so the parent that is dealing with this, or, well, let me just stay here. God's solution to foolishness is to show the folly of foolishness. It is to have people around the fool who are walking wisely, and for them to see the difference. And it also requires proclamation of the truth, because they have to gain understanding of what is the difference here between me and this other person. And the hope is that a wise person that's living around the fool will be such a beacon of truth and of light, and will be such a good model of life that is lived for the Lord, that the fool wants what the wise has, becomes discontent with where he or she is. And that's how this is to be played out. Parents, you must expose the folly of trusting your own mind and following your own heart. So if you're watching a show or a movie that tells them, follow your heart, that's foolish. Okay, keep on watching the show. I just wanted you to know. Okay, I'll leave now, right? Or I'll be quiet. But you got to say something, parents. You got to say something. You have to expose the folly of worldly thinking. Expose the folly of this spiritual insensitivity and keep on speaking the word of God so that they, as it were, in a sense, are unable to become desensitized. So some wisdom for parents there in Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Somebody please read that for us nice and loud.
Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you yourself also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
So we have the word fool there in both verses. So we're talking about the same kind of person. Now, I know what we're all thinking. It says in one verse, do not answer. And then in the very next verse, answer. Yeah, there you go. The Bible contradicts itself. Let's close our Bibles and move on and find another way. Right? No. No. What does it mean to not answer a fool according to his folly? Well, the second half of that verse gives light. What does he mean by that? What does it mean to answer a fool according to his folly? In verse 4, let's focus on verse 4. Why is it not good to answer a fool according to his folly? According to the second half of verse 4.
You'll be like him.
So whatever he's talking about there in the first part of verse 4 is to be like. That according to, answering according to his folly, is to be like him in his folly. What does that look like in just practical day-to-day life? What does it mean when you're dealing with somebody who's foolish, who is just, you know, has their own way of thinking, their own way of living, and they think nothing's wrong with that, and they're sinning and doing their thing, right? If that's your child, what does it look like? What would it look like to actually do this? What it's warning not to do? What would it look like for a parent to be like their child in the way that they're dealing with them?
Arguing
right along with them. Yeah. Just getting in there. And just, they're arguing, so all right, I guess we're arguing then. Let's argue. Yeah. What else?
Imitating.
Yeah, imitating them. Imitating them in their, how can we imitate them?
Being hot-headed and not thinking things through.
Yeah, yeah. Just being driven by emotion. Hot-headed, being, you know, the simple, right? Not thinking about what I'm saying before I say it. Good. The attitudes, right? The heart attitude of getting down on their level. So this shows up in anger. It shows up in impatience, yelling, bad attitudes. Manipulation is one. Oh man, children are good at manipulating. Mm-hmm. They are skilled. So the temptation will be, well, okay, you're going to try and manipulate me. All right, you can play that game. And we barter and manipulate to get our way. You're answering a fool according to his folly in the wrong way. You're just like them. And Proverbs says, don't do that. Don't get on their level. Right? Don't descend to their level, as it were. Okay, the other half of this, verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly. What does that mean? And use the second half of verse 5 to understand what he's talking about there. Yes, yeah, it's correction, absolutely, and trying to deviate them. We're trying to turn them away from where they're going. Any other thoughts?
Can show them in the word where their folly is.
Yeah, show them in the word where their folly is.
Question their folly, get them to think about it, see that it's actually not wise.
Yeah, yeah, ask them, why are you doing that? Help them question even what they're doing, how they're thinking. You want them to second-guess themselves, in a sense. Instead of you, because we know, it's clear, going into that conversation, you disagree with them. It's pretty clear. That's why you're having a conversation, right? That's why they've been called into the room, because there's a disagreement with what you're doing or what you're saying or how you're acting. Yeah, if you don't question it, then they think they're going to go along with their complacency, with what they are, the foolishness, that sluggishness, that dullness, insensitivity. They're just going to continue in that, and it'll get worse and worse. And it'll become the next two words that we're going to look at, Lord willing. So you see, this is calling us, verse 5 is calling us as parents to point out their folly to them. Parents, you have to tell your child that they're wrong. They might not like you for it, but that's not the goal of parenting. The goal of parenting is not to be your child's buddy or friend. You have a responsibility. Now, if you can maintain the relationship, and when they're an adult, you're friends, then wonderful. Praise the Lord. But that's not the ultimate goal. You have to tell them the hard thing, even if that hurts their feelings. Because guess what? It will. And it's been mentioned already, use Scripture to show them that they are not thinking or acting rightly. You have to use the Word of God. Use Proverbs to show them that what they're doing, how they're thinking is not correct. Now, if you don't, it's been mentioned, if you don't do this, well, then they will stay there in their foolishness. But not only will they stay there in their foolish sluggishness of soul, they'll progress to the next kind of fool, the ignorant fool. Number 3 on your notes, the ignorant fool. Let's look at a couple of passages to describe and define what this ignorant fool is. I mean, and I understand that terminology, ignorant fool, is a little bit offensive to some. But, well, that's what they are at this point. And we'll see why. That even though the wording of this might feel offensive or sound offensive, what they are and how they think and act is offensive to God. And so we'll see this. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Ignorant fools despise wisdom and discipline. So what are some ways that the ignorant fool is described here? What's that?
Lack of wisdom, knowledge.
Yeah, lack of wisdom, knowledge.
No discipline.
No
fear.
No fear of God, because it's in contrast to the wise person in the first half.
They hate instruction.
Yeah. So it's not just a lack, right? It's a hatred of instruction. They don't like being told what to do. Yeah, they despise, they loathe the wisdom of God. It upsets them. One way to think about this, they can't stomach God's wisdom. They can't stomach God's wisdom, while at the same time believing that they have all wisdom. We see that in the next verse, Proverbs 12:15, still defining and describing the ignorant fool. The way of the ignorant fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So how is the ignorant fool described here? Yeah, he's right. Mm-hmm.
He thinks he's got it figured out.
Yeah, he thinks he's got it all figured out. How about the counsel?
Yeah,
Does he listen to counsel? No. And the reason is because he's already doing the right thing. Why do I need to change? What I'm doing is right. This is the ignorant fool. Yeah.
My definition says he's one who mocks when he's guilty.
Mocks when what?
Mocks when he's guilty. He mocks God's wisdom when he's guilty.
Yeah, when someone comes along and tries to show them their fault, right? And that fault is sin, right? Let's be clear about that. It's not just, well, you could have done something better. It's sin. When someone comes along and points out their sin, their foolishness, and folly, the folly of their sin, there should be guilt there. There should be repentance. But the ignorant fool digs in his heels and mocks at you and all your rules, or you and, you know, your Bible. The ignorant fool is someone who loves to hear himself talk. He loves his own folly, but despises God's truth. He's the kind of person that cuts you off when you're talking, or teaching them, or trying to correct them. They'll interrupt you so that you can finish instructing them according to the Word of God. That's the ignorant fool. And remember, brothers and sisters, this is worse than being simple. This is worse than just being a fool. This is a step further. This is getting bad. This is getting very, very bad. Okay, so what is God's solution to this then? It's in Proverbs 15:5. An ignorant fool spurns his father's discipline, but he who keeps reproof is prudent. So the answer here, for the sake of time, let's breeze through some of this. The answer here that God gives is the father's discipline and reproof. Reproof, rebuke, correction. I understand you've told your child that that's wrong a number of times already. You've said it 5 times that day. But that's your job, mom and dad, is to keep telling them that's wrong. And that's sin. It's foolish. It doesn't matter if they roll their eyes at you. It doesn't matter if they're getting frustrated or sick and tired of hearing the same thing. They need to hear it. This is how God will change them. Sometimes, by the way, discipline is carried out. Remember, discipline is different than punishment. In a child's life, there are, or in everybody's life, there are 2 kinds of consequences of life. One is discipline, one is punishment. In the context of parenthood, your consequence needs to always be discipline, not punishment. Think constructive, not punitive. That needs to be your discipline. Yeah, question? Say that again. Great question. Great question. As if you have adult children, are you no longer obligated to teach them, to instruct them? Well, let me flip this question around. When a child becomes an adult, when they're an adult, are they no longer obligated to honor you? Yes, they are. That's a weirdly worded question. When a child becomes an adult, of course they're obligated to honor you. You're still mom and dad, right? You're still the parent. There's still honor and respect that is due, right? Well, then if you expect that of your child, even if they're an adult, then It goes both ways. It cuts both ways, Piper says. The knife cuts both ways. You're still obligated to be a source of truth. You may not discipline them or whatever else, but one way of discipline that God has written into creation is consequences. And so, especially with adult children, you need to let them suffer the consequences of their foolishness. If you keep saving them from that, if you keep doing whatever to remove consequences, then they will not learn. That's how they learn, and that you're obligated to do that. And follow it up with, well, here's why. I'm not going to save you this time. All right, let's keep going. Wisdom for parenting, Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. So very practically, especially in the younger years, because it doesn't take long to go from simple to fool to ignorant fool in the course of a day with a child. According to this verse, to reason with or teach this kind of fool is going to be very difficult. Not impossible, but very difficult. So it's an uphill battle. Folly here, this word, it comes from the same word as ignorant fool. That's why we're here at this passage. Same Hebrew word. What's interesting here is according to this verse and according to the rest of Scripture, all children are born not with just a simplicity naivety, right? I don't know. I think I pronounced that right. And not just with a innocent kind of childish foolishness. All children come with this as their default setting. They're an ignorant fool by default. It's bound up in the heart of a child. It's already there. Now, surroundings, environment, and all that, it can complicate it, and it can heighten the knots of foolishness in the heart of a child. But no matter what child you have, even if they're raised in church, all children are born with a natural propensity to sin and folly. It is tightly knotted up in their hearts. That's the idea here for this wording. Like, think of shoelaces that are thrown into the washing machine and then the dryer. Or like old fishing line, right, that is just like rolled around in the back of someone's truck for a month. That's the foolishness in the heart of a child. Bruce Waltke, in his commentary on Proverbs, says, it will take more than words to dislodge this kind of foolishness. And so God says, you must use the rod. You must use the rod, parent. And we're going to talk about this in a whole other lesson. But let me be clear, this is not advocating abuse, because that will make it worse, right? Ephesians 6 talks about that, exasperating your children. But this is talking about constructive discipline. And it's not punishment, it's constructive discipline. And by the way, it needs to be gospel-shaped, where you confront them of their folly, they're made aware of their sin. And then you seek them to be convicted. And that's where the use of the rod comes in, to show the seriousness of their folly. And then the goal is for them to repent and ask forgiveness for their sin. And so you need to give them an opportunity to do that with you and whoever else they sin against in the home. And the ultimate goal is restoration, where you can hug them and tell each other you love each other and mean it. And you're not, and the process of discipline isn't done until you finish that. All right, we're past our time. The scoffer, you have the verses there for the definition of the scoffer. It's basically someone who is described by hostile pride, full of arrogance, full of self-sufficiency, thinks he knows better than God. God's solution in Proverbs 3 is, well, he scoffs at the scoffer. He scoffs at them because he knows their end, which is judgment. And so the call is for them to be humble before God. And wisdom for parenting. Most often the scoffer is a young adult. Most often, if you're doing your best as a parent, and I want to give you the benefit of the doubt that you are, most often this comes out when they're an adult, when they're 18. Because there's a level of freedom, and just they can do whatever they want now, they think. And that's usually when it comes out, if not maybe a year or two before. According to Proverbs 9, 7, and 8, as well as other passages, Proverbs 22, verse 10, you have there on your notes. While a parent should never give up telling their child the gospel, they must use wisdom to gauge when it is time to end a conversation and continue it later, especially if you're dealing with a scoffer. Not only this, but unless God is gracious to change their heart, there will likely come a time, because we're talking about young adults here at this point, there will likely come a time when separation is just the best solution. Where it's just, okay, you don't want to live by my rules, and it's an argument every day, I think you need to move out now. I'm talking about adults here, young adults. If they continue in this pattern, God says, drive out the scoffer, and strife will go out. So if the scoffer leaves, strife leaves. And sometimes, especially you fathers, for the sake of your wives and to be a protector, you may need to tell, especially if it's a young man, you may need to tell them, okay, I think it's time for you to leave and do this on your own because you're ruining our home. Now, that's the most extreme case, right? That's like last straw. But God does seem to give wisdom in that action. I want to just read one last verse. Because we need some hope here, right? We need hope in all of this. In Titus 3, verse 3 through 7, Titus 3, verse 3 through 7, all four characteristics, all four kinds of fools are mentioned in this passage. And we see the wonderful power of the gospel to change someone who is described by any of these kinds. Notice, we ourselves once, so he's talking to Christians and he's saying, don't forget who you were and the power of the gospel that changed you. We ourselves once were foolish. That's the second word, fool. The second kind of fool in our lesson today. We were once foolish, disobedient. That is describing the ignorant fool. We were deceived. That's the simple. And then we were enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. That's the scoffer. So whether you're a simple, whether your child is a simple kind of fool, or just a run-of-the-mill fool, an ignorant fool, or even a scoffer, even though your child may be this, there's hope in the gospel. Verse 4. But when the kindness and affection of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not by works which we did in righteousness, but according to his mercy. So the solution that trumps all of these other, everything else that we talked about today is they must hear the gospel from your lips, parents, because that is what's going to transform them. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, for all the parents of this church, that you would give them encouragement, give them help. Lord, parenting is a 24-hour job, Lord. And even for those of us that are parents of adult children, it doesn't go away. And so, God, we ask for your mercy and your grace to shine upon their hearts. Change them, Lord, if they are one of these fools, if our heart breaks as we hear our own child described in these words. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would save and use us as parents, Lord, to be faithful ambassadors of the gospel of Christ. And, Lord, would you do the work that we cannot? We thank you for the hope of the gospel. We thank you for the power of Christ to change and transform souls and lives. Lord, may we have much hope and confidence, Lord, in him. Lord, help us to be faithful in the meantime, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.